I woke up to a ringing telephone the next day.
"House," Ebenezer said, "you should watch the news today."
He hung up on me.
I went down to a nearby diner for breakfast and asked the waitress to turn on the news. She did.
"Extraordinary event reminiscent of the science fiction horror stories around the turn of the millennium. What appeared to be an asteroid fell from space and impacted just outside the village of Casa Verde in Honduras." The screen flickered to an aerial shot of an enormous smoking hole in the ground and a half-mile-wide circle of trees that had been blasted flat. Just past the circle of destruction stood a poor-looking village. "However, information coming in from agencies around the world indicates that the so-called meteor was in actuality a deactivated Soviet communications satellite which decayed in orbit and fell to Earth. No estimates of the number of deaths or injuries in this tragic freak accident have yet reached authorities, but it seems unlikely that anyone in the manor house could possibly have survived the impact." I sat slowly back, pursing my lips. I decided maybe I wasn't sorry asteroid Dresden turned out to be an old Soviet satellite after all. And I made a mental note to myself never to get on Ebenezer's bad side. The next day I tracked down Marcone. It wasn't easy. I had to call in a couple of favors in the spirit world to get a beacon spell going on him, and he knew all the tricks for losing a tail. I had to borrow Michael's truck so that I could have a prayer of following him inconspicuously. The beetle may be way sexy, but subtle it ain't. He changed cars twice and somehow called into effect the magical equivalent of a destructive electromagnetic pulse that scrambled my beacon spell. Only quick thinking and some inspired thaumaturgy combined with my investigative skills let me stay with him. He drove right on into the evening to a private hospital in Wisconsin. It was a long-term care and therapeutic facility. He pulled in, dressed in casual clothes and wearing a baseball cap, which alone generated enough cognitive dissonance to make me start drooling. He pulled a backpack out of the car and went inside. I gave him a little bit of a lead and then followed him with my beacon. I stayed outside, peering in windows at lit hallways, keeping pace and watching. Marcone stopped at a room and went inside. I stood at the window, keeping track of him. The paper tag on the door from the hall read Doe, Jane, in big, permanent marker letters that were faded with age. There was a single bed in the room, and there was a girl on it. She wasn't old. I'd place her in her late teens or early 20s. She was so thin it was hard to tell. She wasn't on life support, but her bed covers were flawlessly unwrinkled. Combined with her emaciated appearance, I was guessing she was in a coma, whoever she was. Marcone drew up a chair beside the bed. He pulled out a teddy bear and slipped it into the crook of the girl's arm. He got out a book. Then he started reading to her, out loud. He sat there reading to her for an hour before he slipped a bookmark into place and put the book back into the backpack. Then he reached into the pack and pulled out the shroud. He peeled down the outermost blanket on her bed and carefully laid the shroud over the girl, folding its ends in a bit to keep it from spilling out. Then he covered it up with the blanket and sat down in the chair again, his head bowed. I hadn't ever pictured John Marcone praying, but I saw him forming the word, "please," over and over. He waited for another hour. Then, his face sunken and tired, he rose and kissed the girl on the head. He put the teddy bear back into the backpack, got up, and left the room. I went to his car and sat down on the hood. Marcone stopped in his tracks and stared at me when he saw me. I just sat there. He padded warily over to his car and said, voice quiet, "How did you find me?"
"Wasn't easy," I said.
"Is anyone else with you?"
"No."
I saw the wheels spinning in his head. I saw him panic a little. I saw him consider killing me. I saw him force himself to slow down and decide against any rash action. He nodded once and said,
"What do you want?"
"The shroud." "No," he said. There was a hint of frustration to his voice. "I just got it here."
"I saw," I said. "Who is the girl?"
His eyes went flat, and he said nothing. "Okay, Marcone," I said. "You can give me the shroud, or you can explain it to the police when they come out here to search this place." "You can't," he said, his voice quiet. "You can't do that to her. She'd be in danger." My eyes widened. "She's yours?" "I'll kill you," he said in that same soft voice. "If you so much as breathe in her direction, I'll kill you, Dresden. Myself." I believed him. "What's wrong with her?" I asked. "Persistent vegetative state," he said. "Coma." "You wanted it to heal her," I said quietly. "That's why you had it stolen."
"Yes."
"I don't think it works like that," I said. "It isn't as simple as plugging in a light."
"But it might work," he said.
I shrugged. "Maybe."
"I'll take it," he said. "It's all I have."
I looked back toward the window and was quiet for a minute. I made up my mind and said, 3 days. He frowned.
"What?"
3 days, I said. "Three's a magic number, and supposedly that's how long Christ was wrapped in it. In 3 days, 3 sunrises, you should know whether it's going to help or not."
"And then?"
"Then the shroud is returned in a plain brown wrapper to Father Forthill at St. Mary of the Angels," I said. "No note, no nothing, just returned."
"And if I don't, you'll expose her."
I shook my head and stood up. "No, I won't do that. I'll take it up with you." He stared at me for a long moment before his expression softened.
"All right."
I left him there. When I'd first met Marcone, he'd tricked me into a soul gaze. Though I hadn't known the specifics, I knew then that he had a secret. One that gave him the incredible amount of will and inner strength needed to run one of the nation's largest criminal empires. He had something that drove him to be remorseless, practical, deadly. Now I knew what that secret was.